Start your day with Triple M breakfast and a nice hot shower. Built tough for Aussie conditions. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a ream.
All right, here we go. Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
Live from the top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple M
Breakfast. How good is Brisbane? Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How good was that weekend again? No rain, no nothing. You put that into the background. Who cares about mold? That was, if you were in the sun on Saturday, that was one of the great days.
Well, it's where you wanted to be because in the shade, it was very cold.
Like, were you in the shade?
I was in the shade at times.
Why?
It was freezing.
In the sun, guzzling beer at Eagle Farm.
At the races. You had a win too, Marto.
I did. I'll tell you about that later on. It was excellent.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
I'll tell you what, the Australian Border Force has made a few crackdowns lately. You see, they were into the bikies last week in terms of, remember last year they got into that encrypted network, Anon? Do you remember that all around the world?
And QAnon?
QAnon.
Was that they're the ones, the maniacs who sacked the Capitol?
They got one guy and they got him to infiltrate the bikie gangs and the drug lords.
And they gave them free phones.
And said, hey, I've got this encrypted app. Yeah. It's called this. Use it and then no one will be able to get a hold of your text messages. But it actually sent the messages straight to the AFP and worldwide.
Or not the AFP, everyone,
but
the FBI.
And then everyone else.
And at the time, CIA. It was a big story for about a week. And I wonder what they're going to do with it. And in the last couple of weeks, there are people toppling all over the place.
Chung Chak Lee, according to investigators, a kingpin from the world's largest drug cartel, an Asian-based operation known as The Company.
What, did you see this? And you go, woo, righto, what's going
the
on
company.
Here? Yeah, there was an article in the paper and then they ran it on the news last night on Channel 9. Check this out.
The syndicate allegedly linked to as much as 70% of the drugs on Australian streets, money laundering at Crown Casino, and the 2017 seizure of $1 billion worth of drugs off Western Australia.
Wow.
Now, you reckon the price, I'm not a drug user, but you reckon the price of lettuces is expensive? If you're into your drugs, you're going to be paying top-notch dollar now they've got this bloke and they're shutting their things down all over the place.
Incredible.
And you go, you should feel no sympathy for this bloke, but he didn't look that unhappy as he was walking through the airport in handcuffs, and then you realise why.
Senior Associate Lee was arrested at his Bangkok apartment in October 2020 by Royal Thai Police using a provisional arrest warrant based on charges to be laid in Australia.
He's been in a Thai jail for 21 months. He is so happy to be going to an Australian jail. Oh, thank God, you've saved me.
It's a holiday for him.
I want life.
Marto and Margot. Triple M Breakfast.
Marto, I just realised a really invaluable lesson right here, right now. I said to you, what is the weather doing tomorrow? Because I'm going out on a boat for a friend's birthday. And you said, oh, the wind will be
low. No, wind's dying down a little bit. It's turning around this morning from southwest. So you're going to swing around to the south and over to the southeast a little bit this week.
Yeah, and you know a lot about boating. You've just told me we're going out on the boat tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. They want to do a little bit of a river cruise, sunset cruise out of Manly. And then we're going to go back to the Manly Marina for dinner at the boathouse, right?
What happened to you last week? You went out on an exceptionally low tide and tomorrow at 3 p.m. there's a really, really low tide because of the full moon.
0.2. What does that even mean?
There's not a lot of water around at that hour. But as long as he knows what he's doing, this bloke.
No, he's a Scotsman who has a share in a boat.
Okay.
And I'd like to say that you know what you're doing, but last time we heard about you boating, you couldn't get the boat into the water and fell in your pyjamas.
That's right. And I haven't had a lot of luck when it comes to boat. I'm a Capricorn. We are an Earth sign and
therefore I'm supposed to stay on the land.
Don't astrology.
There'd be Capricorns listening right now going, how dare you? I'm an excellent navigator.
The last two times Corey and I have put a boat in, it was hella windy. It was like 40 kilometre winds. I fell over. And then the last time we went last week on Thursday, it was 0.06. We put it in at the lowest tide.
And the tide before that.
It was 1 foot everywhere we went. We had to go at like 5 kilometres an hour.
That's going to be tomorrow. It'll be low, but that's got just stay near the markers. But then you said to me before, which side of the markers? ago on, and I did my boat because I got my lights. So I go, oh, I can never remember.
I'm like, does it red on the left the side, green on the... But you, oh. Then it says you're going out to sea, you're going in to sea. Anyway, from now on, if I'm ever going out on a boat, Marto, I'm coming to you.
No!
And I reckon... No! I reckon...
I'm not that good.
These blokes possibly should have had a conversation with you first too.
Stuck in the middle of nowhere, two mates, barefoot, sitting on their tinny's hull after a hellish night. Setting out on a night fishing expedition Saturday, their boat smashed by waves, slowly sinking, turning upside down in the dark at 2:30 this morning.
Ew.
That was a horrendous. No, didn't have life jackets on.
They nothing. Sick.
No. It was freezing cold, so they were going out looking for reef fish off Fraser. That's where they were. Oh. They could have and should have died. They had to wait until the sun came up, until it got light. One of them dived under the hull to find the EPIRB, and that's the only reason they're still alive.
Yeah, listen to this.
These fellas didn't have their life jackets on. Yeah. So again, lucky that they didn't get washed off the boat.
Waiting till daylight to dive below and grab the EPIRB, activating their cry for help.
That's scary. So they've dived down up into the sunken boat to get the EPIRB.
It's really sharky water there, isn't it, Marto?
Well, that's where they go out there. Anyone will know, when you go out off Fraser and you're fishing the reefs off there, you catch one fish and then every other fish after that the body gets taken off.
2:30 a.m. Sunday morning.
Oh, God.
Would have been cold, you reckon?
Freezing. This is the moment they're lifted to safety.
They were that cold, they couldn't talk much. I'm certain that they were, showing signs of thank you very much.
Wouldn't say thank you, but what is the sign of thank you? Thumbs up, shaky.
I think they couldn't help but nod at that stage.
1-3-3-5-3. Oh, boating rescues. We've talked boating disasters. We've talked boat ramp fails.
When have you been
boating
rescued?
Boating rescues. When have you been rescued? Not necessarily by SES or volunteers.
I've been pulled in by the Coast Guard. It's so embarrassing.
I've had a jet ski pulled in by a tinny. It's not fun.
One day I got a oil filter blew up in the jet ski. I had two kids on the back, okay? I was coming home from Moreton to Brisbane. In the middle of the shipping channel, she's blowing up and it's gone, the limp home mode, and then it just stopped. The Coast Guard came 2 hours later. Anyway, I'm sure there's worse.
1-3-3-5-3, boating rescues. Dane from Ormo, have you got a story?
Yeah, when I was up in Townsville, we were on our way back from a day over on Maggie Island, and we had issues with our motor. At the time, we all had phones and everything. We rang a friend to come out and grab us.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, by the time they got out to the water, it had become night time. All our phones had died. We had no power, so they couldn't actually find us.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we'd actually managed to get a phone call into air traffic control to tell them we're going to send a flare up so these friends can find us. They found us.
Dane, have you got one flare, by the way? Like, this is you've got one shot at getting rescued, right?
Yeah, because the other three that we tried to light didn't light.
No. Oh, this is a horror movie.
How did we go?
Oh, no.
Our mate ended up finding us after one of the Magnetic Island ferries diverted to come up to us.
Oh, crikey. Oh, yeah, that's how easy it all turns, isn't it? You're like,
very much so.
We can't take everyone's calls. We've got to get to the traffic. Thanks, Dave. Like, Ken from Redland Bay found a scuba diver, so he's obviously the current's taken him somewhere and they've scooped him up.
Tracy from Eagle Beach, she got stranded on a jet ski on the way back from Moreton.
Yeah,
I mean, like, you can be like a boating aficionado and still sometimes find yourself in trouble.
Yeah, the ocean just gives you a little reminder who's boss.
Who's the boss?
Every now and then.
1-3-3-5-3. Brad from Corunna Downs. Hello. Boating rescue stories. Have you got one, Brad? What happened?
Yeah, look, my wife was about 8 months pregnant and we decided to take the Hobie cats out on Daydream Island for a tourist up there.
Yeah, that's nice, Brad. That's silly.
It was stinger season too. Anyway, they just said, whatever you do, we kept pestering him to take it out. Yeah. There was no wind or anything. No. They said, whatever you do, don't get caught in the current.
No.
Anyway, sure enough, got right out there, caught in the current.
So no wind in a sailboat and you're just... And if anyone knows with Sundays, the current's just ripped through there.
Yeah, good thing your wife was pregnant though, Brad. That wouldn't have made stuff stressful.
Imagine if she had gone into labour.
The funniest thing was getting towed back in. They said, just sit back, hang onto the mast and pretend you're sailing. And
good.
And enjoy the ride.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Marco.
I'm not sure if anyone's aware, but it's not a public holiday here today for all of you going to work because it is in every other state except for here in WA. It is the Queen's birthday holiday. We've moved ours to the end of the year. because we have so many of them in April, March, April, May, you know, Labor Day, Australia Day.
But be technically correct, because this used to always be a holiday until the last couple of years when the Labor government went, oh, no, we want to have a Labor Day holiday. It disappeared to there and they stole another one.
After the NRL Grand Final, always a good day to have a public holiday. But in and amongst all of that, Marto, of course, Dan, the Queen's Honours List has come out. Everyone gets their AOMs and OMs and AMs and all of the things. The 2022 Queen's Birthday Honours List recognises 992 Australians. That's a lot of people to recognise.
1,000 a year.
I thought this was like an elite type club. No, it seems like there's 900 of them.
But there's 25 million of us, so, you know.
Including 669 in the general division, if you don't know what it is, of the Order of Australia.
Yeah.
Awards for meritorious, I don't even know how to say that.
Meritorious.
That one. Distinguished and conspicuous service.
Oh, to Australia. They served Australia.
They served Australia.
So you've got to work hard here to get one of these, sure.
Yeah, a lot of charity people, a lot of people who do above and beyond.
A lot of sports stars seem to get them for their duties to Australia. Obviously, Ash Barty, the great Ash Barty, number one world tennis player who's recently retired.
Did she
Shane
get one?
Warne, he got one.
Warney's dead. Did anyone tell them? Can somebody ring them and tell them Warney's dead? He won't be popping in.
37 recipients of awards in the military division. 201.
Oh, what was that one? The military.
37 recipients of awards in the military division.
Right. What's the Australian military been up to?
85 distinguished conspicuous awards. I still don't know what that means. And on behalf of all Australians, the Governor-General said, I congratulate the Australians recognised in today's honours list.
Yes.
These are some of the traits that recipients share, including selflessness, excellence and a commitment to service.
Yes.
They're from different backgrounds. Their stories are each unique and each has served in different ways. This diversity is a strength and each has impacted their community and made it better. For that, we thank them, and today we celebrate them.
They're making Australia a better place to live.
Make Australia great again.
Span in community service, science and research, industry, sport. Ash Barty, Shane Warne, the first female premier. She got one as well.
Who was the first female premier?
I don't know her name. But
of what state?
I don't know. Don't ask me questions.
Oh, sorry.
One that I saw here was Miss New. Miss Nguyen, I apologise, Naya Dole. She's a Melbourne lawyer and human rights activist.
Yeah.
Good on her. She also works to help diversity in the media.
Good.
Media is one of the categories, but I'm looking through the list here and there's one particular person that hasn't been mentioned, and so I thought that I would put him forward perhaps for next year's Queen's Honours List, and that is you, Marto Martin. The incredible work that you've done here over a really, really long period of time.
The amount of times I've taken the piss out of people, it should be acknowledged that I've made Australia a better place.
No.
One of the most looked after men, most pampered men on earth, Prince Philip. Oh, hoity-toity. Well, he died and we had speculated that he might have trouble getting through the nervous 90s and he did. He got twitchy. Jeffrey Edelston's large-breasted wife that he brought over, I think she was an alley raider. Fair income, $40 million for koalas. It's overrated. Chlamydia. How do you get chlamydia? Because you root around too much. These things are disgusting sexual predators.
Childbirth is really bloody painful.
Quite simply,
not
there
as
are things.
As childbirth.
No, I think childbirth is it's a myth. Do a few magpies in, because there's some evil ones out there. There's some nice ones going. When one nails you, you won't be laughing.
And I think the police should start, because then they're ready for the proper crims. If they shoot a few magpies, they've got their eyes in. Try to help.
I don't know why you weren't recognised earlier, Marto, but it will be my duty for the next 12 months.
To the Queen, mate.
To make sure that you are on that list next year. Thank you.
Eskimo Joe there on Triple M. It is Marto and Margot. I tell you what, it's been a rough couple of years for the music industry. Shows getting canned left, right, centre. One person it has not slowed down from Eskimo Joe, lead singer, bass guitarist Cav Templey, out on his own second studio album. It's called Machines of Love and Grace. Have a listen to the title track. Don't you know that? Wouldn't you know it?
Good vibe.
Cav's on the phone with us right now, Cav.
Oi, Cav, how are you, mate?
Hey, gang, how's it going?
Hey, listen, we've all had a listen to it. It sounds great, but what about going, what's it like going out on your own for this project and not having the band, if anything goes wrong, to blame? You're accountable. You're out there on your own.
Pretty much nailed it, yeah. If it all goes horribly wrong, I've only got myself to blame. But it makes you appreciate your band as well.
Do you have, and I've spoken to novelists, who they'll put aside 6 hours a day, I must write between this and this. Is that how you approach this project?
Yeah, pretty much. I'll go into, I call it the office, but it's just my studio.
Yeah.
So I'll go in there for about 5 hours a day and then, you know, at the crack of noon, you know, get started.
Crack of noon. Rock and roll.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of those things, you know, same with any kind of art form. You never really know when something's finished. You've just got to put down the pen at a certain point in time. And that's actually the hardest part of it. Starting something is easy. Finishing it is really hard.
Cav, from Perth, of course, big Freo fan, right?
Mm, absolutely.
Now, obviously, you had the grand final over there recently. You guys got around that. There's talk swirling. Origin Game 2 is going to be in Perth. There's rumours swirling that the NRL might be trying to get a cheeky team over there to Perth. Would you get around a Perth NRL team?
100%. That'd be amazing.
Hey, did you see that story earlier in the week where you guys have had two big weekends, Fremantle, especially on the weekend you beat us, the Lions? Did you see where apparently everyone from Fremantle went crazy and started booking tickets to the grand final to Melbourne on grand final week? Is that made news over
already?
There?
Hey.
Well, you know, the thing is it costs a lot of money to fly anywhere outside of Perth, and so we've got to book everything way in advance.
Cav, can I ask, this new song, self-titled, like the album, Machines of Love and Grace, is it right that I read that this is about the pandemic and the relationships, the complex relationships, I should say, that we had through our screens because we weren't allowed to see anyone?
Yeah, there's a bit of that going on. I mean, the whole record I've written kind of documenting my story through the pandemic, and the song itself, Machines of Love and Grace, is, yeah, about this very intimate and intense relationship we now have with and through our phones. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was having FaceTime drinks on the back deck with friends who are in lockdown in other states, and it kind of feels a little bit like a deal with the devil. You know, there's equal good parts and equal bad parts to having this phone in our hand all the time.
Cav, have you ever thought about giving the phone up? I mean, I went off social media for 12 weeks and I noticed that was such a big part of my phone use. Have you ever looked at doing something like that, or do you take time away from it?
Well, I try not to spend, I try and spend time in the day where I do my social media thing and then I step away from it. It's really hard as a musician because it's really how we communicate with our fans these days, and that's a really powerful thing. So I try and make sure I touch base with my community on a regular basis, but it's a really hard thing to manage.
Engagement is so important.
Thanks, mate. Machines of Love and Grace. Hey, you got a bit weird and cagey when we asked you about booking flights over to Melbourne. Can I just verify, have you actually booked flights, and is that why you got defensive about it for the grand final?
Maybe.
Good on you, Cav. Thanks for your time, legend.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Yeah, here's a lot of general excitement about this.
Having a whale of a time.
Ah, yes, it's that time of year you can set your clock by it.
The Humpback Highway reopens for the 2022 whale-watching season.
Look out, here they come. And I tell you what, whales are spectacular things. They can change your life.
Oh, it was the best thing I've ever seen. Wonderful. Life-changing. Cried.
You love whales, Marta. Huh?
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
He's changed his tune a little bit. I know you love talking about whales every time.
I stand there fishing and I just go, another whale. But actually, no, I love them. You know that.
You do love whales. Yeah. This was you last year around this time, Marto.
There's too many of them.
Every year, here they come again. Here they go. Oh, look at the whales there. There's the boats going out to see them. Oh, blow a bit of water out the hole in the back of your head. Anyway,
but I used to
You love whales, but you do say, you know, everyone gets excited. And we spoke to Captain Kerry from Brisbane Whale Watching. We had her on the show. And she explained that, you know, there's a certain time of year where you go out and capitalise on it. But you go to Moreton a lot and you always see the whales over there.
People stop and they point and I go, listen, there'll be another 10 along in the next 5 minutes just to settle down. People toot their horn while you're fishing on the beach going, look out, look, mate, look. And I'm going, yeah, I'm pretty aware. But it was years ago, not too many years ago, there was only 600 or 700. There's now 30,000. Don't make me say it, but if they get caught in nets, it's our opportunity to eat.
Oh, you mean this one?
Every year I suggest we eat whale and no one's on the bandwagon yet. Eventually you'll all get bloody hungry and you go, oh, I remember that bloke said that we should eat whale.
Okay.
We did make also the suggestion
I wasn't going to say anything about whales this
we
year.
Said to Captain Carey, have you ever eaten whale? And she said, yeah, I have actually. She did it in Norway.
Yeah, she
wasn't that great.
No,
there was
said
a suggestion that maybe no one's ever going to eat whale, and that's perhaps maybe why no one's got on board the bandwagon of Marto's.
Well,
let's eat whale.
The Japanese researchers seem to like it.
You've got to lead from the front, Marto.
Exactly.
You've got this to take on, mate.
I'll probably get Queen's honours for this.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Well, if you just joined us, we've been talking about how, well, we're figuring the price of $12 for our cos lettuce, etc. And we're going, who owns that money? And farmers are going, well, we're not making it. And we're supposing that maybe Coles or Woolworths are charging too bloody much. It's them railroading everyone. But here's a bloke who'll be able to help us, Anthony Joseph from the Rockley Markets. How are you, mate?
G'day, Marto. How are you, mate?
Now, you guys, I guess it's been all the talk out there. Can you tell us who's making the market money if it's not the farmers?
Unfortunately, no one's making a whole lot of money at the moment, Marto. The prices are up because there's bugger all supply. So no one's really got anything to sell. So it's reflective of what the produce is selling for, really.
Well, the farmers, Anthony, are saying that it's the chains. They're ripping the farmers off and they're ripping the consumer off. He said if we were getting $10 for a lettuce, we'd be driving Ferraris. Are you driving a Ferrari, Anthony?
Unfortunately, no, I'm not driving a Ferrari.
So if I'm going into a fruit and veg store, what should we be buying based on seasonal?
Well, look, it's nice and cool this time of the year. So pumpkins, Queensland pumpkins have come in season and they're quite cheap. Great for stews. Potatoes, celery and carrots aren't too bad at the moment either. So there's beautiful food there to throw in a stew with some beef.
And perfect time for soups too, being winter.
Soups, yeah, of course, by all means. But also fruit's cheap this time of the year. You know, bananas.
Bananas.
We've got plenty of bananas.
Righto.
Apples are cheap. Queensland citrus is cheap. Avocados are cheap at the moment coming out of far north Queensland.
Problem is everyone's got to pack a school lunch every day for their kids. Don't put berries in there. Would that be a bit of good advice?
My family love eating blueberries, but unfortunately they're not getting any at the moment because they're too bloody dear.
I think part of the problem too with the, you know, you said that it's a supply demand. There's, you know, we've had floods, we've had drought, we've had all of these issues for the poor farmers, but we've also had that unnecessary garnish on the sides of our plates when we eat out. Is that where all the lettuce has gone, Anthony?
No, no, it's not. Look, what's happened is coming out of the back of COVID and all the challenges growers have had with production, you know, they weren't prepared to speculate and they planted a bit less than what they normally do. Then we've had this seasonal weather event on top of that. So it's sort of compounded in the fact that there's just less produce that's been in the ground this year. And that's why we're seeing these really high prices.
Are they found enough backpackers or is that also a problem?
Labour is a continuing problem and was part of the fact that they didn't want to plant as much. But, you know, the challenge we've got now as we're heading into sort of the depths of winter, if you look across Queensland and southeast Queensland where everything's coming from, we've got some really cold weather and now the ground's cold and it's just going to take a bit longer for things to grow. So we're going to be chasing our tail a bit through the winter and we can expect higher prices until it starts to warm up come August, September.
It's not all types of lettuce though. Is it literally across the board or is it just the old iceberg lettuce? Because you've got green leaf, you've got butterhead, there's little jam, you've got cos, watercress.
All leafy lines have been affected. So lettuce, baby leaf, like baby spinach, mescaline, wild rocket, herbs, all your herbs are like two and three times their normal price. So all leafy lines have been affected.
We've heard some of the fast food chains have substituted the lettuce for cabbage. What would be an alternative, Anthony?
Personally, I don't know why they bother putting cabbage on it. I would have preferred to have nothing on my zinger.
Yeah, we're not going to get scurvy if we don't have a lettuce for 2 months, are we?
Yeah, it's a really tough time of the year to eat lettuce this time of the year. Yeah. Like, who's looking to have a big salad anyway?
That's right.
The rabbits are going to be hungry, aren't they?
Hey, thanks for sorting all that out, Anthony.
Righto, guys.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Who would have thought it? We are a nation of tats, Marto and Dan, because more Australians than ever before are braving the needle to decorate their bodies. That's right.
No.
How many have you got, Margo?
I've got 8.
That means there's a total of 8 in the studio, correct, Greg Martin?
You got 0?
You got 1. This, okay, this
Marta's got 1.
I got a Gold Coast Suns on my bum. Tattoo.
For real?
It's a long story.
Oh, it was a radio.
Mardo.
What it did, it made that anything I said on radio after that day, I carry through with, and I always have.
He followed through.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had to beat the Lions. But yeah, you got
Dan,
eight.
You're a clean skin?
Clean skin.
Okay, so you are one of the not five Aussies who are sporting a tattoo, because there's one in five Aussies now.
Only 20%.
Ranging anywhere between a full sleeve and a coin-size smiley face on their inner wrist.
Hold on. Does that surprise anyone else? You telling me only 20% of the Australian population has tats?
Yes.
Wow. Well, the Gold Coast is making up for the rest of Queensland.
Says, has it got girls?
Look, I'm not good at maths, but it also says a further 61%.
Yeah.
So on top of whatever that one in five was.
Yeah, 20.
Of Australians have more than one tattoo.
Oh, no, women, that's 80%. That
with
makes.
Women more likely than men to have multiple.
Did you just see in
because
the last
that's
year?
True.
Yeah.
You've got one, I've got eight. So I am more likely to have multiple than you.
But do you know that girls until 15, 20 years ago, no girls had tats, or very rarely. But in the last 5 years, they have become 70% of the tattoos go to a girl, given to a girl.
Well, what about this? What about age? It's not just gender, because tattoos generally you associate with being young, right? Youthful. Yep. Well, the number of first-timers in their 30s and 40s is growing, Marto. And I just recently, last year, got a tattoo. I got the lyrics to the wedding song that I walked down the aisle to on my arm.
Waste of time.
It was for our anniversary. It was my gift to Corey.
Just in case you forget him.
Corey, like red on a rose, and the writing is the stem of a rose.
Yeah, I don't care. Don't justify. But that's silly tat. That's a silly one.
Well, it's sentimental to me.
What's the one on your wrist? Yeah.
That's Corey's and my star sign, Capricorn and Taurus.
But people want to get rid of their tats.
What
now.
About this one? That's
she's lifting her shirt up.
That's
hello.
Two of the kids' names. I don't know which side.
I don't need
which
to see
is
that.
On.
Okay, that's enough.
Which kids are they?
Yeah, it's Wiley and Memphis on your left.
And then on this side.
So you've forgotten which tattoos
where. So Wiley and Memphis
where.
Are closer to your heart.
Jagger and River on the other side. But well, they were the first kids I had.
Yeah. You know you've got too many tats, Margo, if you're forgetting what's where, mate.
Can I ask, because I want to throw another one in there, tattoo removals now.
Oh, I want to get this one removed.
You, in your 30s, as a female, are the highest incident of tattoo removals.
Oh.
Amelia reads our news. She's just getting one scrubbed off her foot now.
My wife, mate.
Your wife?
She's mid-30s, just ditched one tramp stamp.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh, tramp stamp.
She got one. She was 19 in St Kilda off her head.
It?
Classic. She doesn't know. It's a Chinese symbol. Has no idea what it means.
Everyone I've asked who's getting the removed said it's the most painful thing you'll ever do in your whole life, and it takes a number of goes.
She had eight goes. Jeez. And I was there for the birth of both of our children and the tattoo removal. There were more tears for the tattoo removal.
You need to get rid of any? Are you thinking
I want to get rid of this one on my wrist because it's just got fat and blurry and it started to fade a little bit. 133353.
What?
Tattoo removals. I want to know. What did you get removed and why?
You got a Gold Coast Suns one on your ass and you can't be bothered getting it removed.
I did that because I made a bet and I carried through with the bet and one day those Suns will win the grand final and I am straight into their dressing room going, count this out, boys.
I got this 10 years ago.
Greg Martin, number one ticket holder in 2078 when they win the flag.
But Dan, you were just telling it's a really interesting fact about how they do tattoo removal because I'm really interested in having maybe one.
Do
potentially,
you really want to get that one off?
I want that one, and I think my name, which I have on my foot,
unnecessary
name. I don't know.
In case someone finds it,
change a phone number, so she'll need to get that.
Yeah, but the thing is my name is Margaux, but the G and the A don't match up. Like it doesn't meet up. It looks like two words, and it looks like it says Mary Sucks. And somebody actually said to me once, "Why do you hate Mary so much that you got Mary Sucks tattooed on your foot?"
Not good.
I said, "No, it's my Mary, name, Margo.
It's my old stage name."
Tell everyone how your wife, what the process actually is to remove a tattoo.
So the way it was explained to us by the tattoo removalist was that they use a laser to shatter the ink into pieces inside your skin.
Oh, that doesn't sound fun.
And then your lymphatic system, which is on top of the skin, will eventually over time drain the little shattered pieces of ink away.
So if you, like just a piece of the newspaper, okay, so they're breaking up the ink underneath your skin.
Ooh.
And then your lymphatic system will take it away and you'll need multiple attempts at that because you can't shatter all the ink. With heat, by the way, you're melting and shattering the ink. So tattoos further away from your heart will take longer to get removed. So if you've got one on your ankle, you're in big trouble. But neck and chest apparently go quite quickly.
Lymphatic works well there,
Happy to be corrected on any of this, 133353, but that's what we were told.
We say tattoo a lot on this station. I think lymphatic, I think this is the only place that it's ever been said more than once.
God, I could tell you plenty about. Matt from Fernie Hills, I hear that you're a guy who had a tattoo removed.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. My Canadian mate got told that he could use like a pumice stone to try and shake off the layers of skin from his
pumice stone.
Yeah, rubbing it like sandpaper.
Yeah, so he basically tried to just rub it off over a period of time, and all it gave him was a massive scar.
Yeah, but
did it get rid of the ink?
No,
no, it's too deep. It'd be like trying it with Solvol, you know, like the scratchy soap bar that they use to get grease off.
You have to take it. You've got to take it down layers. You may as well try and burn it off. You know, you're just going to get a big scar.
Okay.
Pumice stone. Mm.
So, what's the moral of the story here? Go Gold Coast Suns. That's staying on your ass forever.
No, if you're drunk, don't go near a tattoo parlor.
Correct. Marto and Margo,
Triple M Breakfast. Margo, I know everyone's just getting to work and going, I wonder what the score is in England versus New Zealand, the second cricket test. I'm sure everyone
I was going to ask, mate. I didn't want to bog the show.
Well,
down.
That's what we're here for, to give you updates on things like this.
Well, that's what the Thornton Sports for.
Now, listen, New Zealand batted first. It's worth telling for,
what's this, T20?
No, this is test cricket.
Oh, this is proper.
5 days. Test. It's now day three. It's going to end up in a draw, but that's not the important bit. The important bit is that New Zealand batted first, and things were looking a bit shaky for them. You know how the ball, you know about cricket, the ball swings.
It's
and,
stitching.
You know,
it's you've got to have the stitching, and you've got to hold your hand.
And it's shinier on one side the other.
And they scratch it with sandpaper.
That's
they don't
illegal.
Scratch it with sandpaper.
They wipe their hair through their gel hair, and
illegal.
Then they rub it on the ball. No.
They have cough lolly.
Why do they rub it on their pants?
That's like, to shine it up.
Only shine one side, keep the other side nice and rough.
I haven't got time for physics, but what happens, a projectile as it travels through air at high speeds, if one side's shiny, one side's rough, it'll start
spin to... Spin it the other way.
That's right, okay. So
like
that's what was going on.
Spins it off the orbit of the axis.
That's what was going on. And I know you pay attention. Last time I spoke about New Zealand cricket, I told you about Darryl Mitchell. He's one of their newbies.
He's the son of the old
All Blacks coach, John
That's
Mitchell.
Right, yes.
He spent his whole life travelling around the world as his dad coached over in Perth, over in England, over in Johannesburg. He went everywhere. Then he went, you know what? I want to be a cricket player. And he's a bloody hell of a cricket player because eventually...
Did he have another choice? Was there any other option?
He could have been a rugby player. No, his dad was the All Blacks coach.
Oh, for the cricket?
Yeah.
Oh, for the rugby?
Rugby, he ended up playing cricket. I know. There's a nufty. Pay attention.
Yeah, sorry.
So he ended up making 196 runs, but early in his innings... So the ball's swinging all over the place. New Zealand are 4 wickets down. He comes in and they bowled the spinner. He slogged it and it's landed this old bird sitting there and not even watching... And it landed, well, here you go.
Excellent batting, use of the feet, conviction in the shot, slapping it straight in somebody's pint glass.
I saw this video, I didn't know it had anything to do with cricket.
So
she's sitting there, it brushed it, well, there you go, the further details. So she's sitting there, she just wasn't watching and it land fair dinkum. So...
In her beer splashed up everywhere, all over her.
And here's a little bit after play. Darryl goes over and apologised to her and they bought her, the New Zealand team bought her a pint.
Oh, nice.
But they weren't on their own.
Sorry about that. Hey, how you going? Nice to meet you.
I
got you. Hope they bought you another pint, did they?
They did indeed.
Oh, that's good.
In fact, the Barmy Army also bought me a pint and so did Basher.
So you got a couple of free ones in.
Yeah,
so that's good.
Did all right.
Okay, and of course the commentators at the time did have this speculation.
Was it the local beer due to the Duke's ball? Do we know?
Just going to say, a bit of Lincolnshire poacher on one side.
I don't know what Lincolnshire poacher, so they were speculating, wonder what will happen to the ball. It was completely soaked. They gave it back to the umpire. This is a bit you said, you told me you saw.
Is it leather, the ball? Yeah, and yes. so it just would absorb all that water.
All right.
Or beer.
So they were in a bit of trouble there. They ended up making more than 500 runs. That bloke, Darryl, scored 196 because the ball did not move one little bit because of that woman's beer.
Heavy.
There's your key if you want to beat the Poms. Marto and Margo,
Triple M Breakfast. Yeah, 133353 or text us on the burner phone 0484 101045. If you might have heard something over the weekend, you were out at sport, you're at the races, you might have seen something, you might have overheard a conversation. Tell us, if you've got a rumour, you could win $1,000 if your rumour comes true. But we've got a couple that have been sent to us, and we're going to tell you.
Go through the NRL one first.
Yeah, we've got a bit of a tip-off from a member of our Triple M call team who loves a junket. Just cast your minds back to who's in our Triple M footy team.
They all love a junket.
Yeah. Is it Ben Teo?
Sailor.
It's all of them.
Yeah.
Ben Hannett.
Girdler.
No one loves a junket more than Ben Hannett.
The NRL is getting serious about taking an NRL game to the US, and it could be as early as next year. Ooh. We're not talking about a trial match or an exhibition match, but a premiership game worth competition points.
Righto.
The great Peter Volandis. I don't know if you've got him there, but we all
He's
know.
He's always here, mate.
We know Peter. Yes.
Rugby league.
Thank you, Peter.
Now, Russell Crowe loves talking about this sort of stuff.
Well, Peter Volandis is heading off to the US today to begin discussions, and we've been told that one of the Rabbitohs will be one of the sides to take part with Russell Crowe to be used as the pin-up boy.
Anything there about the Redcliffe Dolphins maybe in their inaugural season going over there? Because Hollywood, when they see Wayne Bennett, they just go, the new, what's his name, the old actor?
Clint Eastwood.
Looks like Clint Eastwood. They'll go Clint Eastwood stunt double.
I think Wayne Bennett is the old Clint Eastwood. Yeah,
right. If there is ever a live-action Simpsons, I mean, Wayne is a Monty to play Monty Burns.
Oh, my God.
Montgomery Burns.
Not Wayne Bennett and the Redcliffe Dolphins, perhaps Hugh Jackman and his ties with Manly Sea Eagles.
Manly?
He could be a Rabbitohs v. Manly showdown
in the
US.
Has Chris Hemsworth got an NRL team? I know he's big on the Bulldogs in the AFL.
Yeah, he's AFL.
Boring.
Well, that's it.
Right, no, that's a good one.
NRL's heading to the US.
Keep an eye on that. Hey, listen, I've got an Olympic. Well, I've got it. It's a sort of Olympics and it's sort of basketball. It's sort of both. This comes from a friend in real estate who sold a house recently to high-ranking basketball player.
NBA, NBL?
NBA. Oh, yeah. Plays for the Boomers,
proper.
But also proper basketballer.
Can't say
too much. But, all right, Albion Park, you know where the raceway is and the dogs and the trot?
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to become, for the Olympics, the Olympic Stadium for basketball. It's a rumour. Well, apparently he's onto it, this bloke, so.
It's a rumour. Well, if it becomes
where
a trauma.
Where did he buy property?
$1,000
nearby.
Cash.
Nearby.
Near
so
your neck of the woods.
You'll be very mysterious
nearby,
here.
Well, I can't tell too much because that's with rumours.
Well,
people
rumor.
Ask you not to say too much.
All right. $1,000 cash if those rumours become trumours. Get in touch with us. 1-triple-3-5-3-0-4-8-4-10-1-0-4-5 is the text number.
Anything you hear. Mato and Margo on Triple
M Breakfast. God, there were some people out on Saturday. There were 28,000 people Saturday night at the same time. 28,000 people at Suncorp. At the same time, there was 26,000
at the Gabba,
which is incredible.
And they both won.
And there was 20,000 people with me at the Stradbroke Handicap at Eagle Farm. It was mental.
It's the biggest race day of the year, the Stradbroke Cup.
And it was magnificent. And I promised to give you how to pick a surefire winner.
Oh, here we go.
I went through the whole day. Didn't win a bloody thing. $10 on this race. I was betting four states. I was betting Brisbane. Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and Morphettville in Adelaide. And I even had a chance.
Are you an on the nose kind of guy? Or you go each way? You box up? Are you a trifecta?
Do you want mine? No. I'll go occasional trifecta, but normally I'm just each way because I hadn't followed much of the form, etc. Got a truckie mate of mine, Tony. He's a listener. He sends me some rogue tips.
You walk around with a little book in the back pocket
with the with the courier mail
rolled up.
Yeah, so you can
courier
smack
mail
your hand.
Saturday lift out. So newspaper. I'm threading through. Yeah, it was all good. And then it got to the Stradbroke. Saturday morning, a mate of mine rung, he owns a few horses, and he's the one who got Kath in on one of his horses, just 2.5%, cost bugger all. Okay. He said, hey, Marto, what are you doing? I said, well, I just got up. What? He said, do you want to come down to the stables? I said, what stables? He said, Chris Muntz, you know, the trainer,
beautiful.
Used to be a jockey, went down there, went through his horses. Oh, this one's running in race one, this one's running in race eight. And on the way out, took us for about half an hour, took us around a tour of the thing. He told us about the one in race eight. I said, I'll remember that, paying 25-1. It ended up winning, but I'll talk. But the big one was the Stradbroke Handicap. Just on the way out of Chris Munster's stables, he said, see that thing there? That's running in the Stradbroke, and it was a horse called Alligator Blood. And I said, I've heard of that horse. Yeah,
called
right.
Alligator Blood.
Yeah, he said,
that's
go
ferocious.
Over and have a look at it. All right, so my mate and I, it grabbed hold. We got a bit close, and it grabbed hold of my jumper and my mate's jumper after me. It grabbed hold of my jumper, wouldn't let me go. What are you doing? This horse is racing in Queensland's biggest race in about 5-6 hours. And I went, come on, off you go.
It was either hungry or letting Marto know that it was a terrible shirt and he wanted to take it off him.
No, it was early. Grab my mate. Okay, so I'm there 10 minutes before the Stradbroke jumped, and I'm going, Oh, I don't know what to bet on. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, hold on. Remember that horse grabbed me this morning and it won.
Oh,
stop it.
Then the horse
you
that won
on
the
it?
Next. Yeah, bloody oath. Had 25 each way on it. But then I've also, the next race, so I've won nothing. I'm down all afternoon. The next race is the other horse and I'd patted it. It didn't bite me back, but backed it. It was paying $22. Had 20 each. Oh, like, I've just walked out of there. Magnificent. That's how you win at the races.
How do you win, though? So is it the horses that bite you? Is the horse... What's your actual tip?
You've got to go to the stables and touch horses, and I believe whatever you touch wins.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.